people don't respect traffic signs. But I don't think you need to get his expertise on that. I think we all have experienced that. Some people see a stop sign or they don't see the stop sign. Some people see a yield and they figure everybody else must yield for me. Yellow lights mean goes faster. Except for now that they put those cameras, now people see a yellow light and they slam on the brakes. And it's like, I don't want to get caught by the camera. Signs are important because signs communicate with us. Signs are there to communicate. Imagine if we had no traffic signs. Imagine what it would be like driving in Miami. It's almost like that, but not quite. Imagine what it would be like driving without any signs. Anybody can go as fast as they want, and they stop when they want. They don't have to stop if they don't want. There's no yield. There's no one way, two way. You go whichever which way you want to get on whatever lane you want to get. It would be a disaster. We need signs. So I want to talk to you tonight about, and I've titled this talk, Signs of a Fool. So I want to play on the word of signs and talk to you about how foolish it is when we don't obey signs. And we're going to look at some signs of foolishness. And I think we all are foolish sometimes in this regard as we work our way through these different principles of signs. So I want to show you some funny signs first. I think these are interesting signs. Imagine that. You're driving, beware of falling cows. That's an interesting sign. How would you feel driving if you were in this place and these were the signs giving you instructions of where to go? What do I do? Do I go faster? Do I stop? Do I turn? I don't know. What about this one? Shoplifters will be beaten, stabbed, and stomped. Survivors will be prosecuted. Kind of discourage people from stealing, I think. Here's the verse I want you to focus on today. Proverbs 14, verse 16. The wise are cautious and avoid danger. Fools plunge ahead with great confidence. That's the key that I want to focus on today. A wise person reads the sign and obeys it. A fool sees the danger and just keeps on going. There's a picture. I like to visualize sometimes the ideas. There's a great picture that visualizes Proverbs 14, 16. If you had a picture Bible and that verse were depicted as a picture, it would look something like this. Obviously, we did not stop. And we did not obey. So the fool sees the sign and sees the danger and plows right ahead. Danny, we got audio on the video clips I'm going to play. Okay. So let me show you another key principle here. Fools don't know when to stop. Oops, bang the door.
Excuse me. I know you didn't think anyone would catch you, but you just slammed your door into my car. The least you can do is say you're sorry, lady.
You don't have to take that tone. It's not like I'm hurting your resale value. I'm sorry. See? Like that.
Thank you.
know when to stop, and that's just a funny way of illustrating that. But in the journey of life, we need these signs. Why do people need signs? Why do we need signs? So we don't get lost. Signs are critical to tell us which way we're going and making sure we don't get lost. Direction. We need signs because we want to know what lies ahead. Those signs are there as a warning, and so we can arrive at our destination safely. And those signs are there for our protection. So these are three primary reasons why we have signs in traffic and why we need signs in our lives as well. How important is it to obey the signs? Danny, could we get volume, please, on the video?
You have cars on 53rd Street going 55 miles an hour. They do not have to stop. And on 119th Street, you have cars doing 55 miles an hour as well, but they do have to stop. Oh, my gosh. There's just been a major accident.
Caught on live TV, two drivers involved in a serious accident in Wichita, Kansas. The reporter is talking about the dangerous intersection when a car pulls in front of a truck going 55 miles an hour. Tonight, the driver of that red car is in critical condition. The truck driver wasn't injured.
How important is it to obey signs? When you get that stop sign, it means stop. And if you don't stop, it could be very dangerous. In our journey, sometimes signs are funny. Highly flammable situation. Sometimes they give us choices. Sometimes signs are confusing. So you get to this intersection, what do? Sometimes they're just right contradictory. So what do? In our journey, God places signs in our lives. And he does so for the same reasons. He puts signs in our lives so we don't get lost, for direction, so we know what lies ahead as a warning, and so that we could arrive at our destination as protection. And the Bible contains these signs. We need to be able to know what God is telling us to do and why we should do it, and we should be obedient. So let's look at some of the principles. God's signs are never confusing or contradictory. So the first thing I want us to realize is that it is wise to obey the signs. It is wise to obey the signs. When we disobey God, things just don't work out. And I think it's kind of obvious. We can experience that in our lives. We make bad choices when we don't obey God. When we do something that is outright contradictory to what God wants us to do, what happens? We have to face consequences for it. And usually it's not very pleasant. Look at what Proverbs 29:18 says. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is happy. What does it mean to run wild? According to the dictionary, it's uncontrolled, unrestrained, unruly, deviating from the natural or expected course without regulation or control. That's what it means to run wild. This is dangerous to such a person and to everybody around them. Because just like in traffic, when somebody doesn't obey the law, it hurts not only them, but people around them. In our spiritual lives, it's the same thing. When we don't obey the laws that God has set before us, it doesn't just affect us. It affects the people around us. And it's something that we need to be very cautious about. Watch this video. This is actual camera from a traffic light. And I'm going to explain to you what happens. But here's just watch and then I'll explain to you. Guys crossing the street. Traffic is stopping. Boom, accident. Now, here's what happened. Let me explain it to you because it looks pretty graphic. It's not. One car ran a red light, got hit by a truck, and the guy was jaywalking. He was crossing the street when he wasn't supposed to. He had the little red hand saying, "Don't cross the street." So you got one guy that misses the one sign, another guy that misses another sign, and what happens? A horrible accident. Amazingly, when you read the story of what happened with this accident, the guy survived without any broken bones or nothing, just a few scratches, which is a miracle. You can't count on miracles like that, but it does happen sometimes. Because the car that took the red light hit the SUV so hard that it dented the door all the way in, and when it flipped, that dent was above the guy on the floor. Like, unbelievable. This is a one in a million chance, and the guy survives without any broken bones or nothing, just a few scratches, and I'm sure, though, he will not be crossing the street unless he has the right to cross the street. And even then, he'll probably be pretty weary of what's happening around him. It is desperately important to obey the signs. It's important to obey caution signs. Sometimes God gives us caution signs, and sometimes he gives us danger signs. What's the difference between a caution sign and a danger sign? Let's think about it. Let's look at it. There are some situations in our lives where God says, you know what? Okay, you want to do that? Okay. You want to proceed down that right? Okay. But be very careful. Be very careful. Those are the caution signs in Scripture. Caution signs means you can proceed, but you have to be very careful. Keep your eyes open for danger. Do not get distracted. Do not get distracted. That's what a caution sign is for. It means, okay, you're going to proceed. Very careful. There's a principle in Scripture that says that we have a right to do a lot of things, but not everything is convenient for us. And that's where the caution sign comes in. You know, it's not a sin to do blank. You fill in that blank. But you should be really careful. And there's a lot of principles in the Bible like that. A lot of stuff in the Bible like that. Is it a sin to smoke a cigarette? In the Bible, it doesn't say smoking cigarettes is bad. It doesn't say it's a sin. Cigarettes aren't even mentioned. Neither are tobacco, nor chewing tobacco, nor any of those products. But what do we know about these things? It's not a sin to do it, but what do we know about it? It's not good for you. It's not good for your health. Chewing tobacco, people with chewing tobacco have a very high rate of throat cancer, tongue cancer, mouth cancer. You know, so, okay, it's not a sin, but if you're going to do it, I mean, should you be careful? Should you be weary? Should you be watching out? Relationships. There are relationships in the Bible that are not forbidden, but they require a lot of caution. And we need to be wise about these things. And God's word is very, very clear about these principles. Now, when you get a danger sign, that's a totally different thing. A danger sign is a totally different thing. It is important to obey danger signs. Danger signs means you should not proceed. Do not proceed. It doesn't matter how careful you are. Don't do it. It's the kind of sign that tells you it doesn't matter how skillful you are. Don't do it. It doesn't matter if others are doing it. Don't do it. When you see that sign that says danger, electricity overhead, maximum safe is 4.8 meters, you know what? You should be careful with that sign, and you should not mess with that cable. You should not mess with those wires. You know, these power plants that we have all over the city, these power grids, every one of them has a story of some idiot who didn't obey the signs of danger, jumps the fence going after a ball or going after something, and that's the last thing they ever did. There's one right near my mom's house here on 47th and between Flagler and 7th Street. There's a big, not too long ago, a young man lost his life there. Basketball went over the fence. He jumped the fence, even though the signs are this big that says, don't do it. High voltage, danger, danger, danger. Don't do it, don't do it. Well, he went in there to get the ball. And when he bent over to get the ball, he touched one of those, whatever it was, and that was it. Done. Lost his life. For not following. Now, when you look at spiritual principles, God's principles are like that too. When God says don't get unequally yoked, it's kind of one of those. When God says don't get drunk on wine, it's one of those. Don't do it. Every time the Bible says don't do something, don't covet, don't steal, don't lie, it's not a you can do it but be careful. It's a don't do it. And these are signs that people sometimes just, they don't obey, and they go forward and they proceed. And it's not one of those to be careful. It's one of those don't do it. Disobeying signs has consequences. I drive a lot, and I drive a lot in many states, and these memorials are everywhere on the sides of the road, and they're so sad. Sometimes you see little teddy bears, you see toys, you see balloons, you see little sweaters, and it breaks your heart. I went out and started taking some pictures in the Kendall area of some of the places, and it's like, in memory of so-and-so. Somebody did not obey a sign. Whether it was the pedestrian or whether it was two cars that got into an accident, but somebody did not obey and somebody lost their life. Drive safely, flowers. Drive safely, another sign. It used to be that there was all these elaborate memorials, but in order to avoid those elaborate memorials that distract people and all of that, they, you know, the government decided, you know, we're going to make little signs, and that you get a Department of Transportation sign for your, if you petition for one, and that way, you know, they're discouraging people from putting a cross and a whole shrine and all these things that are very distracting and also will cause accidents as well. But disobeying has signs have consequences. And in our spiritual lives as well. Why? Look at what the Bible says. The Lord said, it is because they have forsaken my law, they have ignored my signs and warnings, which I set before them. They have not obeyed me or followed my law. Instead, they have followed their stubbornness of their hearts. This is Jeremiah. This is talking about why the nation of Israel was taken captive, why they lost their freedom, why they went into captivity, why the Babylonians just wiped them out and did all the things that they did to them. Why? What brought about all of this calamity on an entire nation? There it is. They disobeyed God. They did not obey the signs. They did not obey God's law. And God was very clear. Do this, don't do this. If you do this, I'm going to bless you. If you don't do it, you're going to have consequences. Sometimes as Christians, we take God's commands very lightly. Sometimes as Christians, we take God's word very lightly. It's like we get used to hearing things or reading things, and we no longer give it that much importance. And we choose to ignore it sometimes, and it's at our own risk that we do so. It's very easy to you know, believe you can get away with it. Because that one time you took that stop sign and nothing happened could lead somebody to think, well, you know, I can get away with it. Nothing's going to happen. Of course, until the next time when something does happen. And it's the same thing with the Lord. You disobey God and lightning is not going to come down and boom, hit you right there. But it'll catch up with you. And there will be consequences. It is wise to turn around when God says, hey, turn around. It is wise. Those signs are very wise. God won't ask you to turn around unless you're headed in the wrong direction. I remember one time that I was headed in the wrong direction, physically, driving. I was in the Dominican Republic, and I think I've told you guys this story, but I'll share it briefly. I was in the Dominican Republic, and I was driving in the capital, Santo Domingo, and driving over there is wild. But I rented my car. I would go on business, and I would be driving around, and then there's police officers in many of the corners, but they don't have a motorcycle, and they don't have cars. They're on foot. And they're traffic cops. So they pull you over from the side. They blow a whistle and they tell you to pull over. But a lot of times, sadly, because they don't make any money and they're starving, they pull you over for money. Like you haven't done anything and they're pulling you over. And then, you know, they ask you, if you, especially if you're a tourist, they get your passport and then they're holding on to your passport. And so if you get silly with them, they'll take the passport to their station. And yeah, your vacation is in a bad place. And so what they recommend, what a friend of mine recommended to me, who's a native who lives there, he says, look, if you haven't broken any laws, don't stop. Get going. What, are they going to run after you? I mean, you got a car. And I'm like, well, are you sure, man? And I'm in the car with him, and he's doing it. Like, he'll be going, and he would be going the speed limit, and he would be obeying, and then the cops are trying to stop him, and he'd just wave at them and keep going. I said, okay, I can do this. I get it. I got it. So one morning, I had a friend of mine coming, or one day, I had a friend come from Miami to join me in the Dominican Republic for some business. His name was Raul, and I picked him up in the airport, and we went to town, and everything was going great, and then the next day, we were flying out. So in the morning, we're headed to the airport, and I said, Raul, you know, if you see cops trying to stop us, whatever, don't worry about it, you know, I'm just going to wave them and go by. He says, you're nuts, you don't do that, you got to stop. You know, here in this country, like, we respect authority a little bit. And I said, don't worry, just leave it to me. So we're driving to the airport, and there's a group of like five police officers on the side, and they're stopping. I'm like, yeah. And he's sitting in the chair and he's white. He says, "You didn't stop. They're going to come after us." I said, "Raul, relax. I know what I'm doing." He's white. So I'm going back a little further, and there's like 7 or 8 cops, and they're trying to stop me on the side. And I'm just waving at them, and he's like freaking out. He says, "I'm never going to get in the car with you again. You're going to get me arrested in this foreign country. You can't do this." And I'm like, "Listen, shut up, relax. I got this. We're on the way to the airport." And then I turn a corner, and I'm facing the wrong way traffic. And here's the deal. At a certain time in the morning, what is supposed to be a two-way, they make it a one-way to alleviate traffic. So I had gone that the night before right through there, and it was fine. Now I'm going through the same road in the morning, and it's not fine because it's one-way this way. But the cops knew what I was heading into, and they were trying to stop me, and I waved at them. So I see all these cars. I said, "Oh, I got to back up." And then I look at my rearview mirror, and I had like 13 cops walking up. All of them were walking towards that intersection. They knew I was going to have to stop. Raul, at that point, it started smelling kind of funny in the car and everything. It was like, it was bad. They asked for our passports. We give them the passports. Actually, we didn't give them the answer. I told him, "Don't give your passport, because if you give them the passport, we're done." He says, "No, but if they ask for it," they're going to ask for it, "just don't give it to them." And so they come, they ask for passports, and I'm like, "No, listen, I'm sorry, we're tourists. You know, we were coming this way last night, and there was no problem." He says, "Yeah, but then you see us trying to stop you." I said, "No, I thought you guys were waving at me, you know." And they're like, "We were trying to stop you." The bottom line is it cost us like $200. Because everybody, and when you do the exchange rate, it's a lot of money. Because everybody was getting 200 or 300 pesos. Everybody was for like, they made their day with me that day. And Raul would never, ever get in a car with me again. Yeah. Where am I going with this? That sometimes you're heading the wrong way and you have no idea. And God is trying to tell you, "Hey, stop, 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 stop. Don't keep going. Don't keep going. If you keep going down that way, it's going to get ugly." And we kind of like wave him off. "It's okay. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing." Until it catches up with you, obviously. It's very wise to turn around when God shows you you're heading in the wrong direction. Everyone ends up on the wrong side of the road at one time or another. Sometimes life is confusing. And sometimes it's like, where do I go? How do I turn? Which way do I go? We sometimes end up in the wrong place because we can't figure out what to do. Sometimes life is messy that way. Sometimes we're on the wrong road. We miss an exit. I know it happens to me all the time when I'm on the phone. I miss exits. Sometimes we're just headed someplace we should not be headed. And God tries to stop us. And God's word is so clear. The wisest person is the one who, discovering he's headed in the wrong direction, turns back the soonest. That is the wisest person. And in our lives, when we are confronted with something we're not doing right, the wisest person is the one that turns their life around ASAP. Because you know what the tendency is? It's for us to stop and think about it. "Well, I'm going in the wrong direction, but yeah, maybe I can go a little longer. Maybe I can hold on to this a little longer. Maybe I can make it work. Maybe somehow this will end up working out good for me." And we start playing these mind games with ourselves. Instead of doing what is wise, the wisest thing to do is just turn around and head back. Turn around and head the other direction. If you want to go to the Florida Keys and you get on I-95 going north, it doesn't matter how much time you're on I-95 north, you're never going to get to the Keys. It's not a matter of a little more time and a little bit of luck and maybe God will help me and I'll get to the Keys. No, you're headed in the wrong direction. And that's what we do with our lives sometimes. We start making some choices and we start getting on the wrong road, heading in the wrong direction. And no matter how long you're on it, it's not going to get better. Because you have to stop and turn around. That's what the whole word repentance means. The very first day on the road, Jesus with his disciples, and this was his first message. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repent. The word repent means turn around. Turn around. We have this weird concept of what it is to repent or apologize or or to recognize that you've done something wrong. And we have this phrase. I don't. You've probably heard it, and maybe you've even said it. You know, I want to. Yeah, I don't know if I've offended you some way. I just want to say, if I've offended you, I'm sorry. You know, stop and think about that for a minute. Okay, what are you really saying? I don't think I've done anything wrong, but I'm sorry. You know, that's not repentance. Repentance is, hey, I know that what I did was wrong, and I'm sorry. Hey, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. I know that what I did was wrong. I'm sorry. It's not, hey, Lord, if I've offended you, or Lord, you know, no, you have. I have. We've done things that don't please God, and it behooves us to repent, genuinely repent, change direction. And by the way, repenting is not just something you say; it's something you do. If you don't change direction, if you don't stop doing, if you don't make that correction in your life, then you're not really repenting. You're playing games. And you can play games with people and get away with it, but you can't play games with God. We can never get away with that. Repent means to do a spiritual, emotional, mental, oftentimes even physical U-turn. That's what it means. Cambio de sentido, completely. To have regrets about what is, to the extent that we don't want it to be that way anymore. That's what it means to repent. To have such regrets about something that we don't want it to be that way anymore. That we don't want it to be that way anymore. That we do everything we have to do, whatever it takes, so that it doesn't happen again. Not merely trying to change a specific act or activity or attitude. That's not what it is. But wanting our entire life direction to be altered so that we're going in the same direction that Jesus is headed. Following him, doing what he has asked us to do, imitating him. Here's some key principles for us tonight. There are many dangerous things you can do, but I believe the most dangerous thing a person can do is rebel against God and not do what he says to do. I think that is one of the most dangerous things we can do in our lives. One of the hardest things to do after we are saved is to persevere or to continue in the faith without being detoured by the devil, by the enemy. It's one of the hardest things. You see Christians get saved and they're excited and they want to serve God and they're living for God. And then it starts to slow down and then life starts to happen and then temptations start coming. And the hardest thing for us to do as Christians is to persevere, to stay the course. To stay the course, to say no to sin, to say no to our flesh, to say no to temptation, and to do the right thing. But that is what is required of us. The devil sets out a lot of detours in our life. That's his specialty. I hate all the construction that's been happening here in Miami for the last 25 years. I mean, it's not for a year or two, it's like forever. Like, how long have they been working on the Palmetto, and how long have they been working on 995, and how long have they been working on 836? It's like forever. One of the things I hate the most is detours. And spiritually speaking, that's what the enemy does. That's what the enemy does. He loves to give us detours. God is saying, hey, this is the way you go. And the enemy stands in the corner and says, hey, don't go this way. Turn that way. Turn that way. Do that. You don't need to keep going down this road. You can turn around and do that. And it doesn't work out well for us. Three possible outcomes. When faced with a sign, we're either going to wreck because we disobey it, in which case the loss is going to be total, or we're going to have an accident, varying degrees of damage, again, if we don't obey, or we're going to have a safe crossing and continue down, happily down the journey of life. When you have a sign in front of you, you can have do one of three things. You can obey it, or actually two things. You can obey it or disobey it. And sometimes when you disobey it, it's going to be a lot worse than other times. But they're not good alternatives. What does God want from you? Look at what it says in 1 Samuel 15. What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offering and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice? Obedience is far better than sacrifice. Listening to him is much better than offering the fat of rams. What God wants from us is obedience. Not for his sake, but for our own sake. When you love somebody and you give them instructions for their own safety, it's not for you that you're doing it. You're doing it for them. When a dad tells his child, don't cross the street without me, You got to hold my hand when you're crossing the street. You're not doing that for your safety. You're doing that for his safety, for your child's safety. And God, when God lays down the parameters under which we are to live our lives, it's not for his satisfaction. It is for our safety, for our well-being. So in conclusion tonight, submission to God is the key to the Christian success in life. If you're going to make this journey and you're going to be successful in your journey in life, the more signs you obey, the better it's going to be. The more obedient you are to God's commands, the better it's going to be. Yet many of God's children have never wholly surrendered themselves to the Lord. Their lives are spiritually unproductive, self-centered, and confused. Many, many people live this way. They selfishly want God's blessing, but only as long as it doesn't require them to take their hands off the controls of their lives. And the fact is that God does not operate his kingdom on a do-your-own-thing philosophy. He doesn't. If we want success in our walk with God, we must submit to his lordship and his rules. And it's a sign of a fool not to do it. It's a sign of a fool not to do it. There's so many other lessons to be learned from signs. We can stop and look at the stop sign and say, what does it mean when God says stop? It doesn't mean slow down, it means stop. We can take and look at yield signs and what does it mean to yield? When God wants you to yield, he wants you to surrender. He wants you to give preference to him. In our lives, there's so many lessons. When God says it's a one-way street, it's a one-way street. We need to do it the one way God has designed for us to do it. And it's less than we can do so many analogies tonight, but I think we got it. What I want to communicate is that the same way we need these signs in our lives for guidance, for protection, for direction, for just as warnings, we need them in our spiritual lives as well. And it would be very beneficial for us to take God seriously, to take his signs seriously, and to choose to obey him every step of the way. How do you know when you're not obeying God? Well, there's two very easy ways of knowing when you're not obeying God. But the first one, we can all do. That's something that's called our conscience. God has given us a conscience. When we disobey God, when we're doing something wrong, our conscience will accuse us. We know that what we're doing does not please God. That sign alone should be enough for us to stop. For us to stop. And then there's the knowledge. When you know what God expects from you and you don't do it, that is a very foolish thing to do. Let's stand up tonight. I want to pray with you guys.